Again, thank you ladies for playing for us. They always just do a fantastic job, and we just really appreciate them so much. If you have your Bibles with you today, or if you don't, you can look right there in the pew and you can find one. I'm going to read out of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. And then just right over from Luke, just a few pages literally over, but it'll be in the book of John. We're going to read some out of John's Gospel, and it's going to be in the second chapter of the book of John. So find Luke 22, and then John chapter 2 is where we're going to read from today. The thought I'm going to share with you this morning is probably familiar. You've probably seen it. In fact, where you've probably seen it, I don't know if many of you do this, but I'm bad to read bumper stickers going down the road. I notice them. Some are pretty good. Some are pretty bad. Some are even offensive, I guess you could say. It's just according people's liable to put anything in print nowadays. But sometimes you see things that catch your eye and things that will stay with you, so to speak. Any of you ever seen the one that says, "Let go and let God"? You've seen that one? Some of you have? Okay, that's pretty common. It's pretty common that you see that. And when I was thinking about and being prayerful about today's service and thinking about all of us as we have entered into a brand new year, my thought was this, that you and I would let go and just let God. Ever thought about that? Letting go and letting God. Letting go really is not an easy thing. And you're going to actually see that in the passage that I'm going to read to you this morning. Jesus, in his humanity, even had to learn to let go and allow God's will to be done. So letting go is not an easy thing, and letting God, it's just not easy. It's easy to say that. It's easy to think about that's how I'd like for my life to be, and that's the way I'd like to live. But it's not always an easy thing to do. Reminds me of a story, and I know a lot of you have probably heard this story and everything, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. And some of you, it may be the very first time you've ever heard it. But there was a man, and he was walking along beside a cliff. In a very dangerous area, this man is walking in, and all of a sudden his foot slips, and he falls, begins to fall off the cliff. And as he begins to fall, he only falls a few feet down, and he snags a hold of this old root that's just, you know, hanging out of the bank. So this man is hanging on the side of a cliff a couple hundred feet down that he could drop and fall, and the man begins to cry out, "Is there anybody up there?" Again, the man yells, "Is there anybody up there that can help me?" A third time, the man yells out, "Is there anybody up there that can help me?" All of a sudden, a voice from heaven, God speaks, and he says, "Let go. I've got you." And the man says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Sometimes, that's exactly the way we do. We want to let go and let God, but we're afraid to. We're afraid really to trust Him wholly and fully and completely. And as Christians, I really don't know why that's a problem. I think it's because of our Really, it's because of our sin nature, I would think, would be the problem that we have with that. Because as a Christian, what have we done? We have entrusted ourselves to Him, our soul to Him, in full belief and trust of just like the song that we sung, of what a meeting in the air someday. We we have fully entrusted and believe that in the hope of Christ and what He has done at Calvary for every single one of us that have trusted Him as Lord and Savior in our life, then we have committed and entrusted our life fully and wholly to Him, that He will save us and that we'll not perish and that we will not be doomed to a devil's hell, but that all of heaven is prepared for those who have trusted and believed in Him. So we have put complete faith and trust in Him that He has the ability and that He will save our soul. And yet as we go through life and we live out our life here on planet Earth, we find it so hard sometimes to really let go and just allow God to be in control of our lives. To surrender our will to God is not an easy thing. But when we do, how much better life can be. When we're willing to surrender ourselves. In fact, James said in the fourth chapter of the book of James, I can't actually remember the verse right now, it's somewhere along 7-8, something like that. But he tells us to submit ourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll have to flee. So the Bible over and over again tells us about letting go and letting God. I want you to look with me now in Luke's gospel. That's where we're going to begin at. This is when Jesus is in the ending of definitely the ending of His ministry. And He is fixing to go to the cross. And He is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it is there that He is praying. And this is the words that He prays, what I'm going to read to you. In verse 42 is the words that Jesus is praying. He is saying, verse 42, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. Now remember I said that was Christ when He was praying. And look, His life had basically been mapped out from the very beginning, from the time of birth until the time that He reaches right here. The life of Christ has been mapped out, and He knows what His ultimate mission is, and He knows where He's headed to, and He knows that He's headed to the cross. Many of us, we map out our lives. I'd venture to say, most all of, probably you ladies more than you men, but because the ladies take care of this for the benefit of you and I, men, okay? Ladies take care of this, but I would venture to say that most of you have already removed that 2018 calendar from the refrigerator, all right? You've got that 2018 calendar down, and you have transposed over into 2019, all of those dates and all of those birthdays of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and let's just go ahead and be honest, doctor's appointments, if you're older, right? You know, it's just part of life when you get there. But you've moved all those things over. Why? Because you want to know what's going to transpire and what's going to happen and what you know is going to take place in 2019. But you know, as you have written on some of those dates, and some of them are way far out, right? I mean, some of them you went through and you looked at 2019 and you've done wrote things on 2019 that's going to take place in December. And there's not a one of us in here that has a guarantee that we're going to see December. But we go ahead and we map out our life and we work all of these things out because that's just our nature. We like to know what's going to happen and we like to plan for it and we like to sort it out. And really and truly, when it comes down to it, and I don't mean this negative towards nobody, but really and truly, it's kind of an inner thing that we like to be in control of our life. All of us are guilty of that. We want to be in control. We want to be the one that is setting the agenda for what's going to take place in our life in the upcoming year. And yet none of us knows what's going to take place on any given day. And I say this so many times, folks, and I hope that you would always take this to heart. You can be going along through life, and your life can be what you might consider grand and pretty good. And you don't never know what's going to come along one day in 2019. You don't know if a doctor is going to stand before you and give you bad news. Now, I'm not trying to be a preacher of gloom and doom. I don't want nobody to think that. I'm just trying to let reality sink in for a minute. Nobody knows when you're going down the road and you're just driving along and you're happy and everything's good. Nobody knows if an automobile is going to cross that center line. Nobody knows if somebody is going to pull out in front of you. And nobody knows whether that accident is going to be fatal or leave you in a very difficult state to live life through. We just don't know these things. And that's why you and I need to learn in our lives to just let go and let God. Just let go and trust Him. Because ultimately, can anybody in here change anything? You can write it down and you can plan it out and you can think that it's going to work this exact way. But none of us, folks, none of us has that guarantee. Jesus, when He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and He is praying and He is listening in His humanity, I want you to understand, in Christ, in His humanity, He understands what's fixing to transpire and what's fixing to take place. He is fixing to die a very cruel, folks, death for you and I. Well, what has He done? In His humanity, and we see this in Christ Himself, He Himself has to let go and surrender Himself fully and totally and completely to the will of God. Because He begins and He prays, Father, if it be Your will, if there's some way that this cup could pass from me, if there's some way what I'm fixing to have to endure, if this could just be eased out, it sure would be good. But He says, nevertheless. Now see, this is Christ understanding the part of letting go and fully letting God. He says, nevertheless, not my will, not what I want, not what my desire is. Because listen, in Christ's humanity, this is what I want everybody to understand. Yes, we have a God that came in the form of the Christ child and lived and ultimately died. But in His humanity, folks, He felt pain just like you and I do. That's why we understand that whatever we face in life and whatever we go through in life is that we have a Lord that understands. It's just like I've said many times, even at funerals when people weep, Jesus wept. The Bible tells us that when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. And really the Greek rendering of that, it wasn't just some misty-eyed few well up in His eyes. He was literally weeping and crying because a friend had died. So He understands every feeling and every emotion that you and I have. The good, the bad, the hurt, Christ fully understands it. He would have fully understood what it would have felt like to have had a nail driven in the palm or the wrist of your hand. He fully understands what that would have felt like. Folks, can you imagine what that must have felt like? I mean, my goodness. Some folks can get a little splinter in their finger and take on like nobody's business. Well, just imagine a spike being drove into your hand. Christ felt that. So in his humanity, he had prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this pass from me." But in his ability to know and to trust God and completely surrender to the will of God, he says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." He was letting go and fully letting God's will transpire and play out in his life. And you and I, as we enter into 2019, I hope and pray that we would be willing also to fully let go and fully let God play out in our life. Submission to God will always lead, I believe, to the peace of God. When we submit to the will of God, just like Christ, when he submits fully and completely to the will of God in this story, what is the next thing that you and I see that happens? An angel comes. And the Bible says strengthens him or ministers to him or helps him in this trial that he is facing in life. So listen, I'm saying this, that God will always, when we let go and let God, and when we surrender to him and we surrender to his will, he will always be there to minister to us and to help us understand and to help us deal with whatever it is that we're dealing with in life. That's what he done with Christ. That's what he'll do with you and I. When we are no longer trying to control the situations that come along in our own life. So this is a perfect picture of Christ, our Savior, how he himself in his humanity had to understand the letting go and letting God's will be done in his own life. One more story that I want to share with you and show you. And it deals with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's in that second chapter of the book of John. And you're going to see also where people let go and allow God to work. They let go and allow God to control the situation of life. That's what takes place in this particular story. Because listen, folks, I want to tell you something. When we learn to let go and let God, you know what we do? We worry less and trust. When you let go and let God. See, as long as you are trying to hold on to every situation, you know what you're going to have in life? You're going to have a lot of anxiety. And you're going to have a lot of worry. Now, that's not to say that there's never absolutely going to be any worry or anxiety in anybody's life. But I will say this, when the worries and the trials and the tribulations of life come along, when you and I learn to just let go and let God, the worry becomes a whole lot less. And the trust grows a whole lot stronger in him. Our walk grows that much closer with the Lord because we are fully and completely trusting him for every situation and everything that's going on. Well, the problem that Jesus was facing and what he was going through was, I would say, much greater than the problem that Mary was having. But it was still a problem. Sometimes in life we have waves that come along. It's just like little old waves that break on the shore of a beach. You can feel them up against you, but they're not going to knock you down. And then sometimes life brings you the tidal wave or the tsunami or whatever you want to call it that's pretty strong, that it really can knock you off your feet. Sometimes we face those times in life. Most of the time we don't, but sometimes we do. And it's in those times also that we really have to just let go and let God. Listen, I'm going to read these select verses out of John's gospel. This is chapter number 2. This is a conversation between Jesus, Mary, their servants there. They're at the wedding of Canaan of Galilee. All of you are very familiar with that. They were there. They were in first century AD. Evidently, it was very common thing then to serve wine at a wedding. That was just something you done. I guess it would be the equivalent today of going to a wedding and not having no cake. I mean, you know, if you go to a wedding, you're going to expect to see a cake somewhere, I guess. Well, in that day, that wine was served at the wedding. Well, here they have. They've come to this wedding. They've got all these folks there, and they've run out of wine. Listen, what transpires in this story. Third verse, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. All right, first of all, I want you to look, what did the mother of Jesus do? What did Mary do? She brings her problem straight to Jesus. It's a good lesson for all of us to learn, folks. The problems in life, the struggles in life, the things that come along in life, we try everything else in the world, really, sometimes, before we try Jesus. Now, she comes to him with a problem, and then Jesus responds to her. And a lot of folks, I'm not going to dwell really into this very deeply, but Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Some people have thought that's a very sharp rebuke that Jesus gives to his mother. But actually, woman was very much a way that in first century AD, someone would have addressed a lady. You would have addressed her. It would be much the equivalent of us saying something like, "ma'am," today. So he just says, "woman." And he makes that statement, and like I said, sometimes people have thought, well, you know, Jesus is being pretty harsh with his mother, but really think about, what is he doing? How many times did Jesus ask thought-provoking questions to people? This is a very thought-provoking question that Jesus says to her. Very thought-provoking, because it's basically like this. And we don't, you know, this is written down for our benefit and everything, but I would almost venture to say that we probably don't have the whole conversation as far as every bit of the dialogue that probably took place here. I mean, these guys are writing by memory, and I know that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I understand all of that, so don't nobody take anything I'm saying wrong or out of context or anything of that nature. I understand. But Jesus was not being rebuking. I think he was just really being thought-provoking toward his mother to get her to think and realize that, you know, if you're going to trust me, you're going to have to fully trust me, and this is a place where myself and Catholics, and I'm not being hard on Catholics, but I'm just going to be honest, would really disagree. The mother of Mary needed Jesus as Savior just as much as anybody. She had to trust him and who he was and what he was as much as anybody. There was no inherent right to heaven because she was the mother of Jesus. She had to trust him as the Savior of the world just like anybody else. Just as much as anybody else. Just as much as you and I have to. So it's very thought-provoking. And the story goes on. I'm getting real close on time, so let me just run through this real quickly, okay? So the mother of Jesus says to him, she says, "Whatever he says, you do." And so the servants, it says they were obedient to what she had spoke to them. They go and they take these water pots, they fill them up with water, they draw out the water, they give it to the governor and those that were all there and everything. And miraculously, the water has turned to wine. Why did it turn? Why did it happen? Because Mary, because the servants, because those that were involved in this story were willing to let go and let God and trust him and trust what he could do. That's why it transpired. That's why it happened. It became wine after they trusted what the Lord could do and what he would do. See, if you and I, if we don't take our problems to the Lord and trust Him that He'll help us with them, then we're just going to remain in the problem and have the problem with us. I like something that Max Lucado, I read a lot of his writings and stuff. He said that knowing or being able to identify the problem is half of the solution. That is true, folks. That's true. When we can identify what the problem is and know what it is, then that's half the solution. And the other thing is take it to the one who can help you with it, who can bear the load with you. Trust Him. Bring your problems, your needs, whatever it is, to the source that can help and that will help. And be willing to be obedient. See, there's obedience. Christ was obedient to the cross. Christ was obedient to the will of God. Mary was obedient to what Jesus said. The servants were obedient to what Christ said. It's all an example of letting go and allowing God to work and let Him be fully and completely in control of your life. What about you today? Have you let go and let God, if you're listening by way of radio today, have you let go and let God, if you're listening on the internet today, have you let go and let God, have you let go of everything that you're trusting in and fully and wholly and completely placed your trust in Him? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him with your soul? Have you let go of it? Have you let go of trying to think you can earn your way into heaven? And my folks, you can't. You will not be able to earn your way there. The only way that you can make it is to let go and allow God. Let go and trust Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. There is no way other than that way. No other way is given for humanity to be saved, other than to let go. Let go of whatever you're clinging to. You can't cling to a membership of a church. You can't cling to the relationship that mom and dad has with the Lord. You have to let go and trust Him as Lord and Savior yourself. Wherever you are today, you can do that. Ronnie, would you get us a song? Congregation, please stand. If you have never trusted Christ, if you have never let go in your life and allowed Him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, would you let go this morning and let God? You that are listening, wherever you are, you can do the same thing at home. People can be saved at home just as much as they can be saved in a sanctuary of a church somewhere. You can let go and let God. You can surrender your heart to Him. You can just ask Him to come into your life. Just ask Him to be your Savior. Just allow Him, if you would, today. And what about you that are here this morning? Doesn't matter today if you're here with us, you're visiting. That's okay, folks. Nobody's here to embarrass you or anything like that. We care about you. We love you. I love you. I want to know that when that meeting in the air takes place, I want to know that you're going to be a part of it. I want to know that you are going to be raised up together with the rest of the saints of God. I want to know that there will be a reuniting of both soul and body that will be far greater than anything that we have ever known in this life, and prepared for heaven and all the joys that God has awaiting for His believers. What about you today, this morning, today? Would you come if you've never surrendered your life to Him, if you've never submitted to Him, would you come while we sing this verse of song?